used to read Wizard magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 411.
All the information you need, baby.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Look, if you're not going to be excited about it, then don't do it.
I'm just saying, I don't know if we have all the info.
We have all the good stuff.
Okay.
We got all the stuff they probably know about already.
That's true.
Because
if we know about it, I mean. Dave's the only journalist in the bunch.
That's true. We fake our way through. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Spencer.
Brandon.
Mike is sick, and we told him, do not come here. Because that's bad. If you're sick, don't go to work, no matter what anybody else says.
We're all standing 2 feet away from each other right now.
But we have our masks on, so we're safe. Everything's good. I mean, the fact that Pat decided to wear the William Shatner Halloween mask, but, you know, interesting choice, but we'll go with it.
I went with Bane.
So, but yeah, that the main news thing is everything getting canceled. Emerald City canceled. Diamond canceled their summit that was going to be ahead of MegaCon. I saw another one in Boston canceled, so it's... a little squirrely. Sporting events are all going to do stuff without fans, which I understand. I went to the Pens game on Sunday, and I can see how if somebody there was sick, it could spread very, very quickly.
Pirates do games without fans.
That's true. Yeah. That is very true.
Yeah, I was going to say, it probably would be different.
Yeah. No.
It would just be normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, I guess Ohio, their governor stepped in and said, none of this. So, the tournament, but what I also heard was... that the Penguins...
Yeah, the game in Columbus, yeah.
No fans.
Really?
Yep. So. I can't honestly really think of any comic news.
The three Jokers.
Yeah.
You said it wasn't going to happen.
Well, no, it's been 5 years, so I'm sorry
you
for being
rash.
You
said it wasn't going to happen. I have faith.
Okay.
Hopefully it's all in the can and we actually get it.
Yeah. I just kind of gave up hope. They finally announced that. But other than that, I don't remember anything fun or exciting.
I saw something about Steve Orlando's writing for Marvel. I don't know if it's like an exclusive thing.
He said that a while ago that he was switching to freelance.
Okay.
Mariko Tamaki is taking over Wonder Woman.
Right.
And wasn't that what Orlando was on?
Yeah.
So, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I remember reading that he was leaving previously, so that wasn't a big surprise. I guess the big news for me is that I'm a bad idea store. I was one of the...
Well, we knew that.
Yeah.
I was one of the chosen. It was funny because I know I was, I don't want to say disparaging, but I was not a fan of the original announcement. It didn't make sense to me. But flying to Portland, he did a sketch podcast. So I was listening to that on the way out.
With Dinesh.
Yeah. And it made a lot more sense of what they were trying to do and why they were doing, limiting the number of stores. At first they said 25, and I guess now it's up to 100. And basically their idea was they didn't want to try to promote to everyone.
There's like 2,000 stores?
Right. And most publishers are trying to appeal to all of them and sending out promo stuff to all of them and getting very little return. And they kind of said, we only want to deal with the stores that want to carry our book. So we'd rather go direct with them and work with them and ask them to step up, do more promotion, have a dedicated spot for the books, things like that. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. As opposed to trying to not let people have your books, it's trying to give your books to the people that are going to do the most with it. So I understand that. That made sense to me. Then at the meeting, they were very passionate about it. They had Matt Kent and I want to say Doug Braithwaite was there. I knew Kent. I didn't know the other guy who's the artist on, I think, the first book. And it was just a real good presentation. I'm like, and also sitting there, I'm like, I'd rather be part of something trying to figure out how to make it work than being on the outside complaining about it. Because Jermaine was pointing me to another store where some competitors were accepted into the thing and he wasn't. And he was kind of bitching and moaning. And I said, well, did he apply? Did he ask? Has he gone to... Like, it was the entire Valiant crew. And I know Dinesh, and Dinesh knows Bean Biden.
Right, yeah.
And Adam Freeman has been to the store, so...
Well, no, you heavily promoted Valiant. I remember you had right. Valiant Month, you did Galad's Axe, like you...
Yeah,
you
so they knew me, yeah. And so getting in with those people wasn't hard. And then my question to Jermaine was, I'm like, does this guy know them? Does he go to the summits? Has he, you know, reached out? And a lot of times it's not what you know, it's who you know. I had a problem Monday that I was trying to address with Diamond about getting something, and I got no response, and I reached right out to the publisher and someone that I knew there. I said, hey, this happened. Can you help me? And as soon as he got into work, yeah, no problem. Taking care of it. But it's just, that's just from building relationships. That's just knowing people, being friendly, you know. There's a lot of retailers that people know that, you know, it's like if they ask for a favor, they wouldn't get it. It's just that was still the biggest thing for me from Portland was showing Brian, introducing Brian to all these different people. And I'm like, how do you not know these people? You know, it just blows my mind because I'm not an outgoing guy. I'm really not. I think my favorite thing of going to the meetings, especially early on, and I still do it, is I pick a table by myself. I look for an empty table, like for a meal. I look for an empty table and sit down and see who sits down with me to talk to me instead of initially it was instead of forcing myself on someone else.
Yeah.
It was just a case of I'll sit here and see who sits there. And the best was when Hibbs and Karen Berger sat down. That was by far my favorite moment.
I understand why some retailers are a little pissed about this.
I get it, and it's funny because three or four board members are part of it, and the executive director is part of it, and one board member is vehemently opposed to it and was actually very angry that they were at the meeting, and I just find the dichotomy of that pretty funny.
Yeah. Like from my perspective on this, you know, just not as a shop owner at all, but like when I go into different comic book stores, the merchandising and the even just like how back issues are ordered and things like that, they differ greatly from store to store. And I think that's one thing that the comic books industry has working against it is, you know, when I walk into a Target, every Target is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of, because comic books are so small, this would never be possible. But, like, you know, there are guys who go into stores and it's their job to, you know, make sure the Frito-Lays are aligned correctly.
Well, but it's also a case of they pay the store for those spots. And it would be awesome to have companies, you know, pay us to put books in certain places. That would be awesome.
But it's the kind of thing where if you walked into any comic book store in the world and you saw, you know, you knew that there was going to be a Batman display that was a certain, you know, arranged a certain way.
Right.
Like, I think that would help comic book stores just in general, especially bringing in, like, mass audiences. Because, you know, from store to store, it varies so much.
And that's one of our problems where it's easier for them to deal with Barnes & Noble because they know if they ask Barnes & Noble to do that, they will.
So, you know, if a company that's saying, hey, we want to have some, you know, what I'd call, like, trade terms, you know, effectively say, hey, you have to, you know, you have to dedicate this much amount of retail space to us and, you know, you can't sell, you know, multiple issues to one person, that kind of thing. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense, especially in this industry where it's so Wild West. I think it's to the industry as a whole, it's detriment.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but here you have a company that's not trying to go to Barnes & Noble. They're not trying to go to someone like that. They're going direct to the retailer, to the comic book store, and saying, we want to put our product into your store. We have rules, but we're not going to deal with those big guys. We want to deal direct with you. That should be encouraged, not
right.
But and it's not like it's me and Spencer. We wrote a comic book and we're publishing it and we're trying to get
right.
Yeah. They have named people doing this for them.
Right, but I think it's also a little different because, especially at least their like initial push, that initial, you know, oh, won't it seemed they I felt like they were making it exclusive,
right?
Mm-hmm. And it didn't at least from that marketing, you know, I got excited about it because I like some of the ideas there, but mm-hmm. it was also the kind of thing where it was like, am I going to miss out on this because it's such a it's too high a gate and
right.
too much effort
right.
for retailers.
Yeah, and definitely listening to his podcast was they weren't trying to make it a gate. They weren't trying to make it hard to find the books. It was just a case of they just wanted to have a little more control over
it. Well, with 100 stores, you've only captured 5% of the total market. I don't know what that looks like compared to some of the other public. Like, how many stores is Ahoyan? How many stores
right.
is...
How many stores carry them?
Right,
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 it, right,
right,
right.
Because is that comparable? You know, for a startup at launch, how many
it
people
could be.
Work
yeah,
in?
I, it
know,
would
that
be
might
interesting.
Be the right number.
It would be interesting to know how many stores carry Vault and, you know, SourcePoint and stuff. Because certainly not all of them. There are still certainly a lot of Marvel DC stores.
And I don't think anybody's going to come in here for Bad Idea Comics. But by that same token, you do now offer something that other retailers
right.
in the market
don't. Right.
I don't know. I think when those issues actually hit, you know, the Monday before
right.
or so over,
yeah.
Colin's going to be getting guys calling and saying,
"Yeah,
do you have, you know..."
Right, right, because I'm on the list now. The only problem is everywhere that I've seen has my wrong phone number. It has the wrong area code.
They got 412?
No, they have 721. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that an area code?
I don't know, but that's what I saw both on comicbook.com and Bleeding Cool. Mm. So yeah, I don't know who I need to address to
but
fix
if you
that.
Can't figure out the phone number in this day and age,
right,
something
right.
wrong, like,
yeah.
Well, especially yeah. Pittsburgh Comics. Hey, yeah. What are the area codes in Pittsburgh?
Right. And I don't want to be, you know, I'll let other stores do the, you know, countrywide shipping. You know, I will certainly, you know, I don't, that's a lot of work shipping one $4 book. It's just a pain.
Yeah.
721 is an area code for St. Martin.
Oh, so people are going to be making international calls. Not my fault. I don't know why it says that. I don't know where that info came from.
The four is right below the one on it.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. Well, I don't think I wrote it. Unless they read my four as a one, but that would be... On a number pad, though, they may have just hit
yeah.
the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I probably just... What are you doing, Tim? Are you stealing that box?
He's stealing your trash.
Oh, man. Thanks, Tim.
Yep.
Did you have anybody print out the...
Not yet. Not yet. I just posted it. I posted it on Instagram and Facebook today. But You're Not Alone is contacting me saying you want down for it. And they just got it in Comic Hub. So I don't think I got you down yet, but I got a couple other people just in the system for it. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I was impressed with the pitch on that first book. I like the plot summary. It looked interesting. I forgot I have a couple prints to bring in that they gave us. So, yeah, so that was kind of big news. That was neat. It was funny because I knew for a while, but it was one of those don't say anything. So I didn't. I didn't even tell Tim. And then I realized that they needed that picture by Friday. Well, I totally forgot to do the picture. And I'm like, well, crap, because I just totally shut down. It's like, oh, cool, but please wait till we announce the stores on Monday before you start, you know, telling people. So I'm like, okay, I'll just wait till Monday, and completely forgot the rest of the email about taking that picture.
Yeah. I can't wait till there's a bunch of memes of, like, comic book store owners getting dog-shamed, kind of a, you know that meme with dog-shaming? Mm-hmm. Where they put the sign in front of the
dog.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, now you can do that for all the comic book store owners because they,
right.
they have themselves a big
yep.
white thing. Just wash
bad
it.
Bad idea.
Put whatever you want on there.
Yep. The cool thing was Tom King liked my post about that. I thought that was neat when that popped up. Tom King liked that. I'm like, well, that's neat.
I wonder if that means anything.
I don't think so. I think he just happens to follow. He might follow me and saw it and because it was comic book related. I
Tom
doubt
King's liking... bad idea stuff.
Yeah, but...
Maybe Tom King's...
maybe.
Gonna have a bad idea book here.
He could. But, so that was my big news, so that was cool. So I'll be promoting that more. One other thing. I forgot to get the invoice. I gotta mark it up. I'll do it when somebody's talking. The AWA books are coming out next week. We gave out that little, Upshot, was that the name of it? That little promo thing. Yeah, that's that new company, and they're shipping all their books are coming next week. So I'll be promoting that. You'll be seeing me do a lot of online stuff about that. It was funny because they sent a little survey today about, you know, like what kind of social media assets do you need and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, have you, and one of the questions was, have you used what we've sent you? And I'm like, no, because you don't want to fire off too early. And I was waiting to see exactly when they were coming out. And now I'll get, you know, I already have plenty coming. So now I'll start the promotion because you started 3 weeks ahead. Well, that's great. But then something else the next week and people forget. So. But yeah, it's like there's that Mike Didotto one. There's all sorts. Yeah, it's a bunch of different books. Archangel 8, which is like a religious one about angels fighting. There's a scary hotel one. So yeah, all sorts of a variety. But another new company trying something different. Going through Diamond, whereas Bad Idea won't be going through Diamond. So we'll see. We don't know how that works or if we have minimum orders or what. We really haven't heard a whole lot from Bad Idea yet. So we'll see how all that plays out. So that's all I got for news. Anybody else have any?
I heard a rumor that Jamie Foxx isn't going to be in Spawn anymore.
Oh, no.
It's not confirmed.
Oh.
It seems like that might be a problem. It was so close.
What?
Breaking news. I'm sorry.
What is he
doing? Hey, Tim. Can you bring me the invoice off the printer?
Yeah. Well, they were saying, like, I remember seeing things like, you know, two things holding it back is that, you know,
no one wants to see it, and no one cares.
Well, that, that Mafia wants to, he wants to direct it, and then, wants it to be, like, rated R or something like that.
I think the rated R part's fine. Yeah. No one's going to complain about that. But
have
he's
him
never
direct.
Directed anything. There, yeah. No one's gonna, here's $100 million. Go for it.
Well, wasn't it that he said he could do it for $9 million or something like that?
Yeah, because the way he was talking about, he was barely going to see Spawn.
I can name that song.
He could do it for $9 million. There's absolutely no way he could do it. It costs more than $9 million for the one that was made in the 80s or early 90s?
Well, the one in the 90s was really special effects heavy. He's talking about
Spawn
just...
Spawn would have to be special effects heavy.
He's saying that the way you would do it, you would never see Spawn. He would just be like a shadow kind of thing. It wouldn't be... It would be, you know... He'd be a horror...
That's what I like in my movies, is not seeing the main character.
He's going to be like the monster that you get snippets of or something like
that. That's why I hated the 2014 Godzilla movie. Because you didn't see Godzilla until like 10 minutes were left in the movie. Mm. Cloverfield, you only saw the monster twice.
Yeah, but I don't know. I watched an interview with like Bruce Campbell,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying that for some of those movies that he made, the low budget ones early on, they actually would go to like dentists, you know, rich guys who, you know,
yeah,
they could give you, you know, maybe $2 grand, $5 grand, something like that, and they'd do it just so they could, you know, take their wife to a movie premiere and see their name in the credits kind of thing. And they funded like a bunch of movies that way. Which I think if you did like a crowdfunding on Spawn today, like, you know, GoFundMe or Kickstarter or something like that, like, I think you could make $9 million. I don't think you could make $50 million.
But I don't think you can do a good Spawn movie for $9 million.
But I think
the Fantastic Four movie, the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie, costs more than that. And if you've ever seen that, that's horrible.
Right. But if you're doing an interpretation of Spawn that is not, you know, from, you know, that first arc, right? If you're doing a thing where it's like, you know, just basically in alleyways with shadows, you could keep that pretty low budget.
But if you're doing that, then it's not a Spawn movie. It's a horror film that we slap Spawn's name on to try to drum up more business. It's not a Spawn movie. I'm going to go to a Spawn movie to see the cape flowing and the, you know, like, that's what I want. As I said, there's two things stopping that movie. No one cares. No one's going to give him $100 million. Okay.
Okay, no, sorry. Dry throat. Okay, so yeah, I don't have any other news or anything notable to talk about.
No rants.
Man. No, I've been working on pricing stuff. It was funny, Saturday, I had one helper came and we were sorting books and I got through all the way through the A's. And then I took home a collection.
That doesn't seem like a lot of progress.
It does. Trust me, it's not.
You got A.
Well, he's gotten
26 more weeks. Yeah.
No, I hear you. It takes a very long time, and I'm trying to do it in between customers and phone calls and everything. It was funny because he was doing, and he got like from like Fantastic Four to Flash, and I'm like, okay, and that was like in 4 hours, and you weren't helping people or answering, you know, and doing stuff, so it was just kind of funny.
Because they're already in alphabetical order in the box, right?
Right, but you have to. Less. Right, but in the back stock,
you got to fix it. I understand.
Not in alphabetical order, and you're going through, and you're like, okay, you know, and you're having to fix that, yeah. And it's just there's a lot going on. And it was funny. I ran
bunch
down
of goddamn savages.
Exactly. Store. I ran down today. I was looking for something down in the basement, and looked over in the Avengers because when I did the Avengers, I was shocked by how little Avengers issues I actually had from the first run.
Okay.
And downstairs there's a ton, so it's like I know I need to bring all that stuff up. So there's gonna be a lot of.
We brought all the Fantastic Four stuff up.
Well, actually, there wasn't a lot of Fantastic Four down there. I remember looking because one day I hit the Fantastic Four section I didn't have, but I just there was a collection that came in a couple of years ago, and this is kind of the bane of my existence, and this is why the back issues are in the state they are. This collection came in a couple years ago. There's roughly 14 long boxes. Sadly, they came in all these small boxes, a ton of them, and he brought them like in three waves, and they were in no order whatsoever. And so they got put into long boxes, and then those long boxes had to get sorted, and then it had to get sorted all together to make one big collection so you know exactly what's there.
If you ever sell my collection to you, that's what I'm going to take everything out of bags and boards.
Sure.
And I'm going to mix them all up and put them in the
just to warn
boxes.
You, the price goes down because of the amount of effort it takes. And it literally took 2 years because I think it took a while to get I'd try to get the boxes sorted up here. And then eventually they just went down to the basement like on a free comic book day or something, just cleaning up where I needed the room.
Get out of here.
And so they've just kind of been sitting down there untouched because it just doesn't get anything done. And so finally...
Well, it's outside, out of mind.
Right. Yeah. And I got somebody who wanted to be here, I think a little bit of wanted to be away from the house, away from home. It was a good way to get away and just kind of, he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So he got all that put together. So I took two boxes home over the weekend and got one done, but it had the Avengers. So I was like, okay, so I knew what the Avengers were. And then as when I was looking, just already in my pre-sorted stuff down there, there's a ton of old Avengers. Not old, but like in the 100s.
Okay.
So it's like I need to get that stuff up and in the stock.
Look, the first appearance of Captain America.
No, there's nothing good like that. But, you know, just some older stuff that I don't have up here that I probably haven't had up here in 7, 8, 9, you know, who knows how long. So I'm definitely going to give a lot of attention to the back issues. And even... like, he's like, we don't have a ton of room. It's like, well, we can get rid of some stuff. You know, I'll go through and say, okay, these have been in the boxes for 10 years. Right.
For free comic book day.
Yeah, here's stuff that's been here forever that, you know, nobody's bought. Let's move it out. Let's freshen it up. So there's going to be a lot of freshening going on over there. So we're working on it. Mm-hmm. We're working on it.
And it'll be in order until you have,
until I have a big sale. Yep.
And then,
yep. Well, and it's not even just that. I had help last summer, and my help, who wanted to be here to do it, but then apparently didn't and was very disinterested, and stuff just kind of, oh, okay, Green Lantern, here's some Green Lantern, shove.
That goes in queue, right?
And it was in Green Lantern, but it paid no attention to series or numbers. And so, yeah. So that's the kind of stuff we're having to fix.
Now, see, if it was Marvel, I could understand that because...
Yeah. Well, right, like, that was just an example.
You know, a 12-issue run and another 12-issue run, and they all look the same.
Right. Well, like when I did Avengers, it was a, you know, mighty new, you know, there was just no... It was just all thrown in there.
Yeah, I get that to some extent, though, because if you're a long box diver, you're going through every single issue just because you know that somebody pulled the good thing. And he hit it in the back so that nobody could find it.
Right,
and all that kind of stuff. So,
it's good that we're kind of getting everything fixed right now. Yeah. It's just very time-consuming. That's the problem with it. Like, I got through a good chunk of it, but, like, Saturday, like, my first hour, nobody was here. Mm-hmm. And so I was able just to really start cruising. But then after that, when you're having to stop and start, it slows you down. So. But that's all I got for store news. And I'll hit the book club and all that later. So, who wants to start?
No questions?
I forgot to ask because it was a little bit of a crazy day. I totally forgot to ask for questions. Oh, I apologize. No, I did. Because Jeff...
Well, last week you did early.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't even think about it. Because Jeff was here helping with the back issues and talking with him and dealing with the dogs. And you and Sarah were here and totally threw me off.
I know.
Let me see if anybody asks any questions just in general. But yeah, I didn't. Nope.
Our audience is not trained very well.
No, they always have to. So, I apologize. So this might be a quicker podcast.
All right.
Who wants to go first?
I read Strange Adventures.
I read that. I read both Strange books. I'm surprised how poorly it sold, though.
Really?
Just, I have a ton on the shelf, and I ordered it pretty much the same as how Mr. Miracle ended.
Okay.
That's how I picked my number, how Mr. Miracle 6 sold. That's what I ordered.
I think Mr. Miracle's a more well-known character.
Maybe.
But I do not know.
Same team.
Yeah, but Mr. Miracle caught buzz, whereas this was hyped to begin with.
Well, so. That's why I bought it, was because it was Tom King. It had nothing to do with the character, because I don't know, you know, Adam Strange from... anybody.
Yeah. I think I've only read one other Adam Strange book a while
ago. I think he showed up in Johnny Quest, didn't he?
Yeah, he was. Well, he was in one of those. Really? He was in at least one of the one-shots.
Yeah, showed up in like one issue or something like that.
Yeah, I think he did a one-shot.
No, I'm laughing at a book.
Right,
okay.
That's right.
I'm highlighting this only because of...
Yeah, but so when I was reading this one, at first I was kind of like, this is a little too close to Mr. Miracle.
Yes.
Like, in tone and in art. Mm-hmm. It felt very much like if there was, like, a Tom King verse, this, like, fits right in.
Well, you said that this is, like, part of the, like, him and Mitch Garrett has, like, a trilogy of, like, depression, like, kind of stuff that they're working on, so...
Yeah.
It's our 3-year journey through depression. It starts with Mr. Miracle, Adam Strange.
Yeah. I think there's some other project to be... I think maybe, like, these two and then Sheriff of Babylon. Like, those three are kind of, like, just with the subject matter that they, you know, explore.
But I did like the idea that, like, when he went to see Batman, basically to say, hey, being accused of this stuff, you need to... Which was funny, because Batman is the world's best detective, but also, like, I don't understand how Batman could do any kind of intergalactic detective work.
Well, no, I think the detective work would have been here. Because the guy that got killed here.
The guy that got killed here, but what he was... Okay, but what he was accused of by that guy occurred on another planet.
Yeah, that wasn't what I think he wanted him to investigate. I think he wanted him to investigate
the murder
to make sure,
and like the weapon,
to clear him from that.
Because I took it as, I want you to investigate the underlying crime, like the accusation, to clear me of the other.
Oh, I don't think he cares about that. Yeah. I think he did that shit, and he don't care.
Yeah.
So.
I did like how, like, there were two different timelines going on at the same time, and they just kind of ran parallel. Like, he'd introduce himself, and then it would tell part of the story from the other planet, and then he would be something present day, and then go back. Like, that was easy to follow.
Yeah. But I don't know that I want 12 issues of that. And I don't think I will. I don't think it will be that way, because Mr. Miracle wasn't that way.
No.
Either. No.
But yeah, it was... I don't know. I was a little disappointed by it, just because I thought it was good, but it was more of the same, which I think is...
It did feel that way. I see a twist coming.
Yeah.
So I think it'll take definitely a different turn.
Tom King is good at making kind of lesser known characters interesting. Yeah. So.
What else did
Plus, he offers veggie trays.
I really liked how the variant cover was the cover of his book. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a neat way to
do
that.
And I guess on the back, there was two different...
Yeah, there were two different backs, yeah. Yeah.
So, I also read King of Nowhere, number one.
I forgot to take it.
I read
else?
That too, Brendan.
Yeah, this was the Omnivore book. And I'm glad I saved $1 on it.
Ouch.
I wish I'd have paid $1 for it. So I was not impressed by this. It seems to be about a guy who is maybe like stuck in a dream world. I think that's really what it's.
Yeah, it's very dream like quality to the book, so you don't know what's real and what's not. Yeah.
A lot of talking fish men, a lot of like drug references. Yeah, I was, you know, if this was like 1992 and written by Neil Gaiman, I'm sure it'd be the coolest thing in the world, but I don't know. The art was not great, and I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of it.
I didn't mind the art. I wanted to read it because it's the two creators are the two of my books I really like. The writer, W. Maxwell Prince, is doing Ice Cream Man, which I like, and the artist, Tyler Jenkins, did Black Badge.
Yeah.
Okay. Year, did you do Grass Kings too?
In Grass Kings, okay. Yeah.
So, you think you'll pick up the next issue?
I'll pick up the next one just to see where. I'm interested enough to see where it goes.
Yeah.
But
Brandon was not.
Yeah, it didn't just grab me as much as I wanted it to.
Yeah. So, to keep on my downer note.
Man.
Wow. Did you like anything you read?
I liked two things, but and I think other people read those, so I won't. I'll just keep it on the negative side. But Sumerian, Queen of the Black Coast, number one.
That wasn't the best thing ever.
So this was the book that was delayed, probably because Marvel was suing him for putting out a Conan comic.
No, I think it was more they had to get the licensing rights from Robert E. Howard.
Oh, from the Howards.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is... it's basically just a retelling of the Queen of the Black Coast story. But the art is like, it's passable, but he does not, in my mind, look like, you know, the Frazetta Conan that I'm used to. It wasn't, it didn't look like Conan. The story was a little oddly paced. Just Conan has been done a lot better by Dark Horse and by, you know, the Marvel stuff that's going on right now. So this was, if you're going to do Conan, I think you have to do a little more with it than this. So, I think it's probably only going to be like two parts, but,
okay.
I don't think I'm going to follow up with it. So, that's it for me.
Dave?
Billionaire Island.
I read that.
I read that one. That
yeah,
book.
That was really good. That was probably my book of the week.
It was great. I think this was pure satire.
Mm-hmm. But it was different. I didn't expect the little espionage aspect to it. So that was a nice twist. Instead of just mocking them, there was another part to it. I like that.
So there's a man-made island in the Gulf of Mexico where all the billionaires are waiting out.
In international waters.
In international waters.
You only know about it if you have the billionaires channel. You know, if you're not already a billionaire, You don't even have this
right
to get
the coordinates. Right. Yeah.
You don't even know that exists.
Yeah.
So it does have the murder mystery aspect with one of this billionaire is murdered because he's placing this infertility drug into this emergency food supplies. And a reporter goes to Billionaire Island to talk to, you know, the guy who's running the place about it, and he locks her up in a hamster cage with these two other three other people, yeah, with an accountant, and there's like another girl,
the lean in woman.
Yeah.
She talks about I'm going to get ahead by leaning into being in the
And they don't want to leave. They're as happy as can be, getting fast food, and this money comes out of a fan that they're reaching for.
Yeah.
But like I was saying before, it's just so funny because, you know, the point of view of the book is that we don't appreciate billionaires for enough, you know, for all they do for us.
Yeah. Now, you have to, for the book, you have to suspend disbelief a little bit for the book because they basically act like, maritime law or international law is like completely, completely lawless. You can murder people, you can enslave people.
Kidnap people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
put them in hamster
wheels. Oh, we're in the ocean, yeah. So it's not illegal.
Right.
But I think that just adds to the humor. And I like this from the first page. That first page where they're talking about, he's talking about, billionaires like to pretend like global warming isn't a thing, but if you look at like what they actually do,
it's obvious
that they know it is a thing.
Coastline properties and stuff like that.
And they've got the climate change refugees, at some point he calls them like the dirty climate change refugees and things like that.
Yeah.
So this is definitely happening in like a near future. In your dystopian future, but
yeah. It was like they have like that one panel where like a guy's trying to walk through the gate, and like it automatically knows how much he made, or like how much he has like in a saving account, and then they're just like, "No, you have to."
Yeah, it's like the celebrity net worths,
mm-hmm.
where like every time I think of a celebrity, I'm like, oh, "How much is he worth?" And I do the celebrity net worth thing. It's kind of like that for everybody.
I want to mention, too, the artist is Steve Pugh.
Who did Flintstones.
They did the Flintstones together, so if you like this and haven't read the Flintstones, read the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Next, I read the Outer Darkness Chew crossover, issue one of this. Now, I read most of Chew. I think I read the whole thing, but I haven't read any of Outer Darkness. And they're both written by John Layman. I thought this was really good. This is more of like a Chew book. Now Chew is a book about this FDA agent who gets psychic impressions from eating food, from the food he eats. And this Outer Darkness, it's like, you know, Star Trek genre. What I got from the issue is the Star Trek genre series about a spacecraft in I think the 28th century. And they have like this creature there that only eats, that only speaks, you know, through eating, communicates through eating. So what they do, the crew of the ship, they pluck Tony Chu and his partner from the past and bring him to the future, so they can get him, you know, so they can help communicate with this person. And And it's total craziness too, because in the past, Tony Chu, they're dealing with this group of Canadian Mounties who are high on maple syrup that's laced with poisonous LSD or something. And
It happens.
And it's like the final word that John Layman is having on Chu. And it's really good. It's really good. You know, it does a good job. I think it's a good introduction to both series because they have. I thought it was really smooth. There's a lot of characters to introduce, and I thought he did a really good job with that.
Chew is something that I've been wanting to try to get into. But
I read
it
for a little while and just kind of fell off,
like,
but it was good.
There's so much, you know, so much stuff.
But it was good.
I think there's like 15, 20 trades?
No, like 10 maybe.
I think it went to 60 issues.
Yeah.
Okay, 10? That's not bad.
10 or 12, yeah.
Yeah.
And Lois Lane, number 9.
I'm not caught up on this, so.
Don't give anything
away.
Don't spoil it.
I won't spoil anything. I don't know what I could say about it then.
Did you enjoy it?
I really like, I'll just say, I won't give any plot points away, but I like the, I'm more interested in the character interactions in this than the actual plot. Because the character interactions between the question, Renee Montoya and Lois, and I'll just say Batman appears in this issue, and Renee had some words with Batman. This is just a really good job with that. And that's all I got.
Okay.
Patrick.
Batman number 90.
I read that.
Yeah.
So, we finally get to meet the designer.
That's why that one sold out so fast.
And
his goofy costume.
Yes. So, I have a theory about this, and I texted Colin about it. I think it's Moriarty. Because he keeps talking about how he had to go against the world's greatest detective. And Sherlock Holmes is the only thing that keeps coming into my mind. And then all the villains kept saying, he's a legend. He's just a legend. Yeah. He's a myth. And I'm like, that has to be who it is. Who else could it be? And if I'm I give up.
Is Sherlock Holmes in DC continuity, though?
I mean, Batman has met Sherlock Holmes. But I don't know.
And wasn't Moriarty the villain in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
But it's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen in DC Comics.
It was Vertigo, wasn't it?
Yeah, but...
Well, not really. It was Wildstorm before it was bought by DC.
Okay. Well, but I mean, they
kind of inherited
it over before anyway.
And I don't think Sherlock Holmes is ever in like Sandman or anything either like that. Not that I can remember. But that's a good cast.
So I enjoyed the issue itself. I liked how like his whole plot was he brought in the Riddler, the Penguin, Catwoman, and the Joker. You know, kind of like the four goofy villains from the Batman TV show sat him down and said, okay, give me your best plan. Well, that's not going to work because of this. Now take it to the next step. So he goes through the Riddler, Catwoman, and the Penguin, and they're all like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And Joker's in there, and he's in there for hours and hours and hours. And a designer comes out and goes, kill them all. This guy is too messed up.
Yeah, because the panel when he comes out of the room was really good. Like, I really like that. But I thought, at that point, I was like, oh, I think the Joker dressed up as...
as a designer.
As the designer. And like he killed him or something like that. And then the very next panel, Joker pops him in the head and kills him. And I was like, okay, nope, that was not the right... That was not what happened there. But, no, I definitely like that character. And I think there's no way he's actually dead.
Mm. Oh, no. Yeah. Not at all.
But the thing that this... left me questioning was, is the romance between Batman and Catwoman like a part of this ruse? You know, part of the plan? Is this her doing her, you know, layers and layers to steal his fortune? And even her, you know, apologizing for it and stuff like that,
that's a long con, and two, if she would have married him, she could have gotten all his stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, I don't think that's where they're going because I feel like that's too easy, and I also don't think they want to, you know, effectively retcon them or break them up so quickly.
They still have the Bat and Cat series.
Yeah, but that's probably going to be out of continuity.
Is that a series or just a one shot?
No, it's supposed to be a 12-issue. I think
it's a 12-issue.
Because I forget what I was reading. It might have been there was an advertisement, I think, in Strange Adventures or something like that. And it made it look like it was only a one-shot. Or it was like the Bat and Cat and 80 Year Romance. But it looked like it was just a one shot.
Is that the same thing?
I assume.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I assumed it was.
Because aren't they
doing
a Catwoman 80th?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's different.
No, no, it wasn't a Catwoman book. It said the Batman. Because
I don't know that they've started advertising it yet. Because we haven't ordered it yet.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but I don't know.
They got Strange Adventure back there. Right?
Where? That'd be over there.
Dave's getting up.
Okay. Well, while we're...
It'd be one thing if I could go like that, but...
Well, I thought it was right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Jeez, Pat.
God.
Dang.
Spider-Man Noir. No one read that?
Mm-mm.
So, it's, I don't know, it's interesting, except it's very, see, and we're gonna do this, see, and you know.
But that's noir, right?
Yeah, and the copper's there, yeah, see this.
Okay.
It looks like it's a one shot.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it's like, you know, that's a trade, that's a trade, that's
right, no,
a trade.
I get that, but it just, yeah. And that's why I assume that that's what that was.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was one of those, I liked the character, so I wanted to read it, just kind of see.
Did you read the original?
No.
Neither did I.
Honestly, I think Snyder did the story for the, no. I think he did Iron Man. Noir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
I read the first one. It was good. It was basically like Aunt May was, you know, working in a soup kitchen during the Depression.
Well, now she owns
type
it.
Of thing. Okay.
Mary Jane is working with like destitute girls and trying to help them get on their feet. So that kind of thing. That's all still there.
Did they explain anything about, like, because, like, two Spider-Verse series ago, he died. Did they, like, get into any, like, that about, like, how he was came back or anything like that?
No.
They put out this movie where he was in it, and it was a big success, so that's why he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's all. That's, I think
and
that
somehow
explains
it
all.
Nick Cage, and it was awesome. It wasn't bad. It just... It was very much, you know, see, and you know, like, okay, fine, whatever. And the last one I read was Flash 750.
Yeah, I read that one too.
I didn't get the regular copies in until this week.
That's okay. I got the cover.
I know, but I'm just saying, so I didn't read it.
It was okay. You know, like all the other ones where it was, you know, kind of the main issue, which I'm not reading Flash right now. That's one I've just been, I was on it and off it and on it and off it and on it and off. There's some arcs where
it catches you and then...
Yeah. It looks like Godspeed is... So there's a villain called Paradox, apparently.
Yeah.
That's trying to stop not just this Flash, but all Flashes. And he is enlisting Godspeed to help him. It was okay.
Yeah.
Fine, whatever. I like some of the smaller stories. There was one where Barry, in his mind, goes to different realities, and there's different Flashes, and like one of them's Gorilla Grodd is the Flash of that world.
Yeah, when he's using like his hyper
thinking or
whatever.
Yeah,
because that's the Manipole and Bucciolato. That was from their run. So
yeah. So I want to see that world.
Yeah,
I want to see Gorilla Grodd as Flash. That would be very, very interesting.
They had one where Captain Cold just wanted to go and get some beer.
Yeah.
And got stuck in the middle of some guy trying to pull a robbery. And so he has to, like, freeze him. And then the police show up and he freezes a helicopter in midair and stuff. And that one was weird, though. That seemed like that took place during when Wally was the Flash. Because it had... So I'm thinking, like, that was, like, an old Jeff Johns, like, thing that they probably just had, like, filed away and put out there.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to have, like, a 750 a Flash without having a...
Jeff Johns was in there. And Bucciolato did one, and Marv Wolfman did one. Yeah. I did not like the Marv Wolfman one. It was him against Mirror Master.
Yeah, that one.
The art in it was horrible.
It's that, yeah, that Rami Rossimo.
Yeah,
oh, right. Riley Rossimo, okay.
Yeah, he'd be very hit or miss sometimes depending on what he's drawing.
Yeah, he did the cover of the last Harley Quinn, and I was not a fan.
Like, I understand it was supposed to be in a Hall of Mirrors, yeah, and that distorts things, but even before he got in the Hall of Mirrors, I thought that, like, the legs were out of proportion, yeah, and the body, like, the positioning just wasn't right.
The J story was good.
Yeah. Yeah, which I guess that's going to be something that's going to happen later on.
Yeah, and then you get Wally West in his chair again some more.
Yeah, the epilogue of Flash Forward, which I thought there wasn't. Anyway, yeah, he goes to see Farragut, Tuggernuts, or whatever his name is. And,
sure.
Yeah. Apparently he said, oh no, it's everything, all of time is broken. And then he, he's asks Wally, well, can you fix it? And he's like, well, I had the Speed Force, I'm the fastest man alive, and now I have all the answers because of the Mobius chair. I got this.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where they're going to go with it. Even though he thinks like Dr. Manhattan, he doesn't talk like Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, it's still very sounds like Wally. Yes. Like. And he has clothes on, so.
Yeah, yeah. Although his uniform is now blue.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, when Blackest Night took place, the Flash
had the Hope.
It was Hope.
So. Yeah, that's immediately what it reminded me of, was the Hope outfit.
Yeah. It was okay. I mean, those things, you know all of them aren't going to be winners.
Yeah.
But I thought there were more winners in that than losers.
And they had some good, pin-ups. And, like, the Mitch Garrett pin-up was
yeah, it was his
good.
Son. Yeah.
That's what I read.
Miles Morales, Spider-Man, number 16. So there's, like, two parts to this story. There's the part titled Day, and that's where Miles is, like, he's in charge babysitting his new baby sister because his parents are, like, going out to, like, with some of their friends for, like, a brunch or something like that. So he's in charge of, you know, making sure his baby sister doesn't get into, you know, any trouble and stuff. So, like, he's taking her for a walk out in the park, or, like, in the stroller, or, like, in the park and stuff like that, and, like, introducing her to people in, like, the neighborhood and stuff, and just talking about, you know, growing up in Brooklyn and, like, that kind of stuff. And she starts crying, so, you know, he's like, oh, I got this, you're probably hungry. No, you're not hungry, still crying. Oh, you probably need a new diaper change, I'd be mad too. Change is still crying, like, you know, and then he finally gets to, like, set her down for, like, a nap. And then there's, like, out on the street, there's a big gathering of people. So he goes to check it out. And there's somebody who was down in the sewer who got, like, something happened. And he got caved in by, like, you know, some of the wall or whatever. And he's stuck and he needs help out. So Miles, like, he feels like he has to go help this guy. So he sneaks off. And he gets, you know, he's, like, He's talking to, you know, his sister, and he's like, you know, it's about time you learn a family secret. He's like, I'm Spider-Man, but don't tell anybody, you know, and he suits up. He's like, but he's trying to figure out how to, you know, how he's going to do this with her. So he basically just makes, like, a web harness, like a little baby harness out of web on her. So as he goes down in the sewer, she's just, you know, hanging off of him and, you know, stuck to him. And he goes to try to rescue the guy. There's, like, this huge, like, alligator that's in the sewer that caused it, and he has to end up fighting that for a little bit. He eventually stops it, saves the guy, gets the sister back home safely and stuff, and is, like, knocked out by the time his parents get back because he's tired from watching the baby and, you know, having to do that stuff. And then the second half of the story is titled Night, and it's dealing with the Prowler that's his uncle, like the version of the Prowler that's his uncle from, like, the other universe, is now forced to working for the ultimate guy who's the Miles Morales of the 616, but he's a bad guy in this universe, and he went over to the Ultimate Universe at the end of Spider-Man 2. But he's back now, and he's trying to take over New York and stuff, and so he has him prior stealing stuff, and he starts to reveal to him, like, shows him the Prowler mask from the other universe, and he can kind of remember it. And so, like, it seems like they're trying to start to play a little bit more with, like, the Ultimate Universe history and stuff like that. So, like, maybe here soon they'll finally actually kind of go over, like, that stuff that happened after Secret Wars, where they didn't kind of really explain how Miles was in the 616 universe and stuff. And but still, pretty solid issue. The art is good and stuff. I just kind of like it's nice seeing him like interact with like the with his baby sister and stuff like that. And the only other one I read was Justice League 42. They're still fighting the Executioner and his army from the other what's the planet, the planet that was like next to Krypton, like that was Dex whenever it exploded. Dexamite.
Daxima.
Are bringing them back, and like he's trying to take over the planet, and they come up with a plan to, because they captured Wonder Woman in last issue, to try to save her. Flash shows up and like gets all their attention and gets them to chase him, across the planet, and they have that magician lady, to open up a
Zatanna?
Not Zatanna, but the one with the tarot cards. She was
Madame Xanadu?
Yeah, that was always like in the Justice
League. Nice try, Brian.
that'd have been the first one I'd have guessed too. I mean,
but the thing is, I read the issue right before this one.
And so she's able to open up like a magical portal to some other random planet that doesn't have a red sun, and since they're chasing Flash, they don't notice that they're going through it, and then the Justice League appear there, so now like that's like the standoff of them fighting them on a planet that doesn't have a red sun, so it's a little bit more of a even battle. But that's all I read.
That's all you got? Okay. I also read Strange Academy, which is a new one, Scotty Young and Humberto Ramos.
How strange is it?
It's like young magicians in the Marvel Universe. Like this one girl, she's like developing these powers and she can make flowers grow, but then all of a sudden the tree thereby starts to die because there's a cost to magic. And if you do one thing, there's a cost somewhere else. And all of a sudden, this tree starts attacking her. And I think it was Doctor Strange's assistant from a while back shows up and protects her and takes her, goes to the home and saying, hey, she has these powers. We need to teach her how to use them so she's not a danger to herself and actually can be a help. And it's an issue introducing all the new students at the school, which was kind of fun. There were two brothers from Asgard. But there was also then Loki shows up with a frost giant who has magical power. So there's some instant animosity. There's Dormammu's child is there. Just a real interesting group of
What's
characters.
The name of his kid?
I don't remember. But just a real interesting
Steve.
group of characters.
Little
Dormammu. And the way they're put together and set up. So it was very enjoyable. I thought it would be a little dumb, but I enjoyed it. I thought I'll probably
it's
watch.
It's not a Harry Potter ripoff.
It's very Harry Potter-ish, but not like there's no character that's Harry Potter and his group. It's like you're not following one group so far. It's just kind of introducing you to all the characters. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, and it's interesting because there are a lot of magical characters, and this is kind of fun. Fantastic.
That was one that I thought. It looks like a Scholastic book,
but I think it's going to be better than that. I think I have some hopes for this one. Fantastic Four Grim Noir was a little one shot.
I was thinking about checking that out, but
It was good. Basically, he's starting to doubt himself and things. He's feeling a little down. Talking about, you know, how come Reed can fix everybody, but he can't help me, things like that. There was a girl that was singing across the from their apartment that all of a sudden she vanished and he doesn't know what's going on. And then he basically discovers it's Nightmare has come and is, I think it was Nightmare, but it's, you know, one of those demonic people getting in his head and basically, you know, fights him off, you know, just through, you know, willpower and, you know, no, I'm not afraid. You know, you feed on fear.
You will be.
But it was good. It was good. Like, whatever the creature was had taken the girl and she only performed for him and he saved her. And he felt bad because the only reason he found the singer was because of his doubt and fear that drew the thing there. So, no, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was just a little one shot, but it was good. And then I got caught up on Hellblazer. My problem was I had sold out of two before I had a chance to read it, and so I kind of held off, and then I finally got a reorder in, but I had gotten behind by then. So I read 2, 3, and 4. And 1, 2, and 3 were one story about these angels in this park that would feed on, like, bad people and stuff, and it turned out it was the manifestation of this one guy, this homeless guy, who John basically beats by convincing him to kill himself. Which is a very John thing to do. Yeah. The next one starts with John is all dressed up finally in a fancy suit and looking good instead of rumpled. And all of a sudden this, like, poop monster attacks him. And this other guy defeats it, but it basically explodes all over him. And now he's covered in poop. One interesting thing from the first one was there's this mute kid who was one of the gang drug dealer involved with them, and he convinced him, you know, stop, you know, don't get involved with that. And since Chaz died, I think, in the Zero, which is just so weird, John Constantine without Chaz, who always was a taxi driver and would always drive John around.
He was like the one guy
survive. But he's recruited this new kid to kind of drive him around. But so, and then there's this other guy who, like, just worships John, and he's, like, just a new magic user. He uses puns, which was very interesting. But he's kind of walking around with John, and John keeps trying to get rid of him. And they're trying to figure out exactly what's going on. There's certain, like, in this one area, there's these crows that are attacking foreigners and stuff. Just typical, you know, weird magic things going on in London. But it just really feels like old school Hellblazer. You know, for him to, you know, convince some, you know, stop a magical threat by convincing the guy to kill himself is just so Constantine that I don't think you would have gotten when it was part of New 52. So yeah, it's just it feels like how it should be. I tweeted out to the writer and the artists. It was nice. Got some retweets and stuff, likes by them. So if you're an old-school Hellblazer fan, this new series will be right up your alley. And that's all I read.
Well, then what's coming out next week?
I said, I didn't remember a little bit piece of news that they announced the second Deceased book. Like, they're doing another Deceased.
That's already started.
No, like a, not the Unkillables one, but like, okay. a Deceased.
Oh, okay,
two.
For the heroes. Okay, gotcha. Like, what are you talking about? It's already started. Like, come on, Spencer.
Like Deceased Dead Planet or something.
Oh, okay, for about the people that stayed or something.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Deceased Electric Boogaloo.
No, no, it can't be that.
Electric Boogaloo.
There can be no, like, on the dead world, there cannot be, there could be no breakdancing. I'm sorry.
You're not popping and locking.
I haven't popped and locked in a long time.
I think you pop and lock every day.
Yeah.
I think if you pop, you definitely lock up.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Start 2020 Iron Age number one. This is one of those anthology books with stories from both sides of the conflict. Alienated 2. I'm just highlighting this one because this is one of the books that Boom is really focusing on as one of their kind of pillars for the year. So if you haven't got a chance to read number one, give it a shot. It was good. Archangel 8, number one. This is a new one from AWA. There are 7 archangels talked about in the scriptures that defend heaven, and nobody talks about the 8th one who doesn't quite follow the rules. So this is his story. Artemis and the Assassin. This was from Aftershock. Basic idea behind this one is, I guess it's Artemis or the Assassin is like is this Assassin's group is hired to. They'll go throughout time and, you know, do whatever the mission is with no regards to consequences. And in this one, the Assassin is hired to take out a person who has the D-Day plans for the Allies during World War II. So we'll see what happens there. Batman 91, so we're the next part of that. We have Brave and the Bold 28, facsimile edition, first appearance of Justice League. Captain Marvel 16, I believe, is the end of her this story where she's killing the Avengers. Deceased Unkillables 2, Spencer, is next week. And Dave, Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man number 5, the ultimate issue, I guess, the last issue of that.
Oh, no.
Excalibur is the X-book next week. Hotel, with two L's, making it kind of like Hotel Hell, is another one from AWA about a mysterious hotel that shows up when you need it when you're driving on Route 66, but you might not want to stay there. Legends of Log one shot. I believe that this is an Alterna one about a log, you know. Nightwing 70, that's for Spencer, but this is one of the preludes to Joker War.
Yeah, I think like, the next few issues are like leading into that.
Outlawed is the new, you know, like the champions based on something that happened in Incoming. The government has banned all teenage superheroes, so they've been outlawed. So now they're this is them saying, "Oh yeah,"
as opposed to all the other vigilantes, which are perfectly
right.
Allowed.
Right. Yes. Plunge 2. That's the Joe Hill book. This one I enjoyed. Pokemon Detective Pikachu movie graphic novel. I thought that was very timely.
Didn't that movie come out on DVD like 6 months
ago? Yeah, well, here, I ordered this last May. So, yeah, it took a little while for them to make it.
Can't find it.
Yeah, I think it's on HBO now.
Yeah, so if you enjoyed it on HBO, come get the book. Red Border is another one from AWA, and this is about some people fleeing over the border to get a better life. And end up in this like haunted house that's right over the border where they kind of duck in to avoid the agents and
the border of Canada.
No, the border of America. Oh. That southern border, you know, the one that doesn't have a wall. resist
as opposed to the Canadian border, which has
there's
a giant
no
wall.
Right. Resistance number one. This is another AWA, and this is the one I think it's Straczynski and. Mike Diodato doing this one. I forget exactly what it's about, but it's got a big picture of an exploding Earth on the cover. Robin 80th anniversary is coming out next week. Let me know what covers you want. I didn't order a ton, so these $10 books I'm kind of hedging my bets on. Spider-Woman number one. That's got a ton of covers. Holy cow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 covers. Yes! And I think I sold 5 copies of the last issue of Spider-Woman, so that makes it tough when you have 11 covers just to order 5 copies. But, hey, we'll see how that one goes. Star Wars number 4, because that one's selling well. Starship Down is another one from AWA. Oh, wait, never mind. I'm sorry. That's Dark Horse. But I believe what this is they find a spaceship in the like in the Siberian tundra, and because of global warming, it's melting, and they found this thing, and now the scientist has to figure out why it's here and what's going on before all the different groups and things get involved, the government and stuff, to save the world. Lots of other stuff, but just nothing of like Undiscovered Country and things. Wicked Things number one. I'm not sure exactly what this is, but it's got 3 different covers. I'm assuming it looks like it's a Boom book, but I do not remember specifically what that one's about. Wolverine number one, second print, in case you missed it. I have more coming. X-Force number 9. X-Ray Robot. I'm excited about this one. This is Mike Allred, written and drawn. About a guy who is a scientist and starts doing some stuff, and suddenly this robot shows up that claims it's his future self from 250 years in the future. And then You're the Villain, Hell Arisen, number 4. So we'll see if everybody that bought 3 comes back for number 4. I'm very excited about that. Book club we're doing the end of the month is Second Coming by Mark Russell. And Pace, Richard Pace drew that. Sorry, I panicked. I blanked.
Okay.
And we're doing Valiant Month because of the Bloodshot movie that just had its premiere, I want to say,
ticket.
Last night. There you go.
I got my ticket.
So you'll be the only one
I'm
in the theater.
I'm the only one.
Right,
as of right now, or when I bought my ticket, I was literally the only person
nice.
In the theater.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about the coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be safe. Just bury your face in the popcorn bucket.
Yeah, just me and my disinfectant spray.
There you go. Good.
See, depending on what theater you go to, you might need that more than just the coronavirus.
True.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm working hard on getting the back issues back into shape. So if there's stuff you're looking for, or you're looking to complete a run, or you're looking for just something to read, come on by. If you're, self-quarantining, come get some reading material before you dive in.
Yeah, have you noticed a downtick?
Today, there was a distinct lack. Numbers were down, but we had a big bump at the end. We had a lot of people come in at the end, but about 6 o'clock, I was about half of where I normally am, and I was like, what's going on? But talking to Dan at Southside, he said he was very, very slow, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's that or possibly, because I get a good bit of business here from South Point, where people come, you know, like either they come at lunch break or they come after work. And if they didn't go to work, they're not going to swing by today. So I think that could have something. Like one guy was just in, said they told him not to come in for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, but he's like, I can come here more. So, well, yeah, it's different. You work service. Come on, Spencer. You love your job. And stop that attitude, man. So I did notice a downtick. I mean, we're not nearly as bad as other areas. I can't even imagine what's going on the West Coast.
I read an article about a store in Ohio that's in like a mall. And they were... They said today was like dead.
Nobody came. Yeah. I can say, because I mean, at least for me, I think the benefit is I'm a destination store. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying, there's not a ton of people here, so you're not going to be in, whereas in a mall, where you could
if you come any day but Wednesday.
Right. You might be the only person here. Yeah. So, and I've been wiping down the door handle and I've been wiping down the pin pad. Mm-hmm. And that's really the only thing people touch other than the books, you know. So, for the most part, so, you know, for communal touching things. You know what I mean? No, but I mean, you know what I mean. It's not like, you know.
What do you do when I leave here?
No, you know what I mean. I'm just trying to think of where people were going to touch.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. And then I've been washing my hands a lot, so. Because I'm like, the one thing I am touching is everybody's cards. So. I guess I should get some of those blue gloves. Look good.
Good luck.
So, it is a good look.
It is.
I'll be early Batman. There you go.
Those are purple, though, won't they?
I know. I'll find purple ones. Shut up.
Get those Hulk.
Oh, the Hulk face. That'll be a little tough to work the computer with the Hulk hands, though. Yeah.
We've seen you work the computer.
Where they crash.
Colin Smash.
I don't know. I think Comic Hub would be equally as easy.
They're working on it. They actually, I give Stu a ton of credit here. He and his wife moved to India for 9 months so that they can be there. Because he found he spent so much time writing stuff up for how he wanted them to do something so that they could get it without having to ask questions, where if he could just stand there and go, do that, it would be so much easier. So they literally are moving there for 9 months. So
that seems like the wrong way to do it. Because I've had to do stuff like that, mm-hmm. and yeah. I get the Indian guys
mm-hmm.
to come here for 9 months. Because to them, it's like a vacation.
True, but I'm guessing that's where the I don't know.
I guess living in India would not be a fortune.
Right, but, and they were talking about it, and they were like inviting all of us out to come see because it's beautiful. But I don't think anybody's going anywhere right now.
Yeah,
we got so lucky having our meeting. Before all this broke, because like I said, Diamond just canceled their summit, which was in April, all that stuff.
You were like the weekend before.
Right, yeah, we got really, really lucky, especially out there, because that's, Seattle's the hub of everything, it seems to be, right now, just because of that one senior living center that got hit pretty bad.
Yeah, I got really lucky, because I'm moving, and I applied for a loan. On the day that the market
crashed. Nice.
So it went down like a quarter point.
Okay.
My APR or whatever
it's
called.
Right.
Down like a quarter point, and then the very next day it went right back up.
Okay.
So I lucked out.
Nice. Well played. So
it's his fault. He planned the virus.
Yeah. Got it. So, Dave, since you're here.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week, and I will remember to ask for questions. I can't believe I blew that. See ya.